What's up, girls, gays, and theys? Welcome to The Thought Topic, a comedy podcast about surviving your 20s. And honestly, we all really could use some help. It's me, Christian, your thought therapist here to help guide you to the best of my thoughty knowledge on all things adulting. So let's get it, shall we? Welcome back, thotties, to another episode of The Thought Topic with your host, me, Christian Sanchez. Yeah, Christian Kitchen. Okay, so when I was a kid, I had this friend in the neighborhood that I would always play with, and she used to call me Kitchen because she couldn't say Christian. And my family ridiculed me and picked on me and called me Kitchen, and they still do it to this day. And they know that when I was a child, it used to make me so angry. Like, even as a little diva 6 year old, I was like, my name is Christian. It is not Kitchen. Anyway, Savannah had a fun little story that she told me after I told her that, and I wanted her to share it with y'all. Oh my God, Savannah, I need you to share that with the thotties. Will you please say that on the air?
Saying, fun fact, in fifth grade, my math teacher accidentally called me Santa instead of Savannah. And for the rest of the year, I was called Santa by the entire class.
I love that. I'm so sorry. I just wanted to have that. Okay. Love you, Savvy. Thank you for being honest and open. Anyway, welcome back, thoughts. Wow, we have a lot to get into this week. But this week, our episode is featuring the one and only Noah Bridgestock. Noah is an actor, a musician, a fellow thought, and a close friend of mine. This episode is about toxic masculinity. We talk about how heteronormative behavior influences your dating life, how either like being a man or identifying as masculine can affect you versus like being subject to it. So yeah, it's super fun to talk to Noah about. We also just like share tea on our lives. Our relationship is pretty interesting, so I'm sure you guys will get a kick out of how we met each other and how we've been friends for so long. Also, I would just like to make a quick disclaimer. The day I recorded this episode, I may or may not have drank an entire bottle of Prosecco to myself. This episode took me a minute to edit because there's a lot of burping in it, a lot of slurring and drunkenness seeping through. And yeah, it was a hoot and a half. So I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. But first, I just have my quick usual announcements. Subscribe to the Patreon. There you will see exclusive content such as uncut episodes. I have some really, really, really great teaful information to upload to the Patreon that didn't make it into the final cut of this episode that I'm excited to put on there. So if you're interested, you can find the link to that in the episode description box or on our social media. Also, submit a thought tale. So a thoughty story about a time you were being that hoe over there, or your friend, or your mom, or your girlfriend, or your ex. If you have some like teeful thoughty story you would like to share with us, you can submit that via the Google form, which is also in the episode description box and on our social media bio. Oh God, I love when I get messages from my friends and they're like, Frishin, will you tell this thought tale on the podcast? And I'm like, just write it in the Google form, baby. I have a few of them sitting in there that I haven't read yet. I just kind of like to pull them out whenever I think they're worthy to share with y'all. But anyway, as always, subscribe, share, and rate us. It really helps the podcast get noticed. We are excited to be growing out and up even more every week. More thoughts are joining the thought community. This week, Savannah and I were looking over the analytics of the show, and we realized we have international international thoughts listening to the podcast. So if you're listening outside the US, you are fucking bomb. And thank you for supporting Thought Topic. I mean, also, obviously, thank you to my American listeners. It's just, you know, exciting to know that people actually want to listen to my podcast. That's pretty fucking cool. So I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Thoughties. I could not lead the Thought Nation without y'all. Anyway, so if you are part of the Thought community, make sure you're following our social media at The Thought Topic. That's Thought with a zero in Thought. All right, y'all. That's all I really have for the episode intro this week. So this episode's a little bit different. It's a little bit more serious, you know. Talking about masculinity often leads to talking about some trauma. Noah opens up about some of his like experiences from his childhood. And so I just wanted to give a quick little trigger warning that we talk about drug abuse and absent fathers and things like that. But the whole episode is pretty lighthearted. So I hope you guys enjoy it. So without further ado, here is Noah Bridgestock. Noah Bridgestock, hi.
Hi.
I'm about to burp. Hold on. It's the Prosecco for me, love. Anyway, hi, welcome to The Thought Topic.
We're doing The Thought Topic now?
It's The Thought Topic. I know. This is already off to a great start.
I know, we're off to the races.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Noah, I'm so excited for you to be here.
Yeah, this is going
to
be fun.
This is going to be very fun.
And messy.
And very messy. Okay, so Noah, you are a fellow Thought. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, fellow Thought, a loyal listener, a loyal pal, friend, fellow artist. What other title would you like to claim right in this moment?
Let's just get right to it. Actor, musician, recovering fuckboy.
Fuckboy in recovery and remission. We love to hear that.
I don't know if remission is the right word. Attempted recovery.
Hello, Father. I would like to confess to my sins. I am a former fuckboy. Oh, God. Yeah, I was Catholic. Whatever. Yeah. I was not. Okay, so before we get into our topic for the episode today, we're going to be talking about masculinity. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a man.
I am.
You identify as a man.
I do.
You, I would support that.
Yes.
So I figured who better to talk about masculinity, toxic masculinity.
Than your straight white friend.
Than my only straight white friend.
Yeah, there it is.
I'm really trying to think of it. Do I have more than one straight white friend? Please hold.
I will carry that torch.
Yeah, you can carry that torch because I really don't. I have Savannah's boyfriend, but he's not white. He's Asian. So yeah, I have two straight friends.
How boring is it though that I'm a straight white dude in 2021? Like, I feel like that's not very
interesting
hip or interesting.
You're like,
or
I'm so off trend.
I'm not that interesting. That's a great way to lead into a podcast, right?
Right. You have a niche for the Thought Topic market because like we haven't had.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to appeal to one listener.
Oh my God, this is so fun. Anyway, so welcome. Thank you for being our male perspective, our male voice for this week. Mm-hmm. So before we get started and talking about our opinions and perspective of masculinity, I want you to introduce yourself. So why don't you go ahead and just share your name, where you're from, your job, your passion, your zodiac sign, and how we know each other and why you are a qualified, certified thoughty.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. So, my name's Noah Bridgestock. I am from Boston. I was originally born in Hyde Park, which is, people from Boston know what that is.
Cute.
It's a part of the city that if you didn't go to jail by the time you were like 14 or get arrested by the time you were 14, you are a success story. We moved out when I was 8.
Are you a yeehaw?
I'm a yeehaw.
Oh my
girl,
God.
No, I grew up in the woods.
Okay, I've known you for a while, but I never knew you were a yeehaw.
Yeah, yeah. I farm town, like horses would trot down the street.
He's a horse boy.
I'm not a horse boy. I can't ride a horse, but yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So you grew up in rural Massachusetts.
Very rural.
And yeah. You have lived in New York for how long?
I moved to New York for college almost 10 years ago.
Do you feel like a veteran? Do you feel like a New Yorker? Would you call yourself a New Yorker?
Here's the thing. I've been screamed at on the D train by the same homeless man like maybe 15 to 20 times. So I think your experience is valid.
I think
I've finally made it.
Okay, so that's
I'm also a Leo.
A Leo King. We love it. I love fire signs. I just did another episode with fire sign. And so
yeah,
I'm
fire signs only, right?
Yeah, fire signs only. Besides Savannah, our lovely resident Virgo, we love you. Fire signs only. You're stable. You are not mentally ill.
Fire signs and God complexes only.
That's the motherfucking tea. Yeah. Fire signs and God complexes only. That's a good meme. Will you write that down? Anyway. So, yeah. Okay. Leo from a former Yeehaw from Massachusetts. What else? Your job passion. You're an actor, singer.
Yeah. So I'm an actor, singer, musician.
That's kind of how we know each other.
No, it's not.
That's not.
No, it's not.
But that's why we're friends.
Yeah.
So Noah is a dear friend of mine. I've known you for what? Like 6 years? 5 years?
We're going on five, six years. Are we going on six years? Yeah. Because
lucky you. Anyway.
Who gets to say how we met? Is it you?
Oh, you do.
Do you want to say it on three? Let's say it on three.
Tinder. Okay, y'all. So Noah and I matched on Tinder in 6 years ago. Yeah. 6 years ago when we were in college. And then
I had just graduated.
I was fully in my like thoughty era where I was just like embracing everything about being chaotic and like owning this persona. And so then I met Noah and we realized that we are the same person. Mm-hmm. And so we have stayed friends throughout the years. And I'm going to validate for you right now on this podcast that I just adore you as a friend. And I just am excited to know you as an adult now and not as a chaotic like college student.
Like a hot mess. I had just gone through really, really, really ugly breakup.
Yeah.
Like my first true heartbreak, and I didn't really know how to deal with it. You know what I can.
Anyway, so
no,
yeah.
I made a lot of bad choices that summer.
Let's back up real quick.
Yeah.
So Noah and I met in summertime.
Okay,
we're gonna talk about this real quick. So Noah was in his full like fuckboy like persona.
I had just come into understanding what it meant to be a fuckboy, I think.
Yeah, at that time it was like what, 2016? That was like the year of the fuckboy. Like that was when like fuckboy was really like conceptualized and like solidified.
I was on the cutting edge of it.
Yeah, you were the pioneer in the fuckboy movement.
Yeah, I was waving the flag, unfortunately.
You said, let's go, fellas.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and not that I ever thought you were a fuckboy because I was doing my own fuckboy thing.
But, you know, fully.
But Noah and I both met when we were like on our chaotic, like, I'm just gonna match with someone on Tinder and just like fuck around and just like get whatever I want and whatever validation I need out of this. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not.
I had just gotten back from doing my first like professional contract as an actor.
Right.
And I was in my hometown in Michigan before I started school in 3 weeks. And
it was the end of the summer, right?
It was the end of the summer. And yeah, so we like matched on Tinder and you were doing a show with a friend of mine from school. So I was like, oh, sick. I'm gonna come see your show.
Right.
Yeah.
Which let's be very clear just how thoughty of a show that was.
Oh, period.
Full flex. I was,
you're playing a character who's fully naked.
almost the entire time.
You know the vibes. Anyway, so we matched on Tinder, we hooked up. And then we just like stayed in contact. We kind of like fell out of it. And then throughout time, once I finally moved to New York, once I graduated college, we just like kind of always stayed friends and like reconnected and would talk about our childhood trauma and being
childhood
an actor.
Trauma, how terrible the career we chose is from time to time.
Yeah.
Because it has its really, really, really terrible downfalls and high highs, low lows.
Yes. Yeah. And also the parallels in our dating lives.
They are nearly exact.
No, okay. And that's truly why I feel like I wanted you to come on the show because I feel like we have the same kind of like philosophy and experience when it comes to like dating and just how we have grown as individuals from kind of just being like messy, like simple-minded human beings to understanding what it means to have a healthy relationship and and just valuing personal growth. So yes, on that note of personal growth, that is why you're here today to talk about toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And to challenge the stigma or like a general like perception of masculinity when it comes to like being like a cis hetero male.
Yeah.
I think that this is like a topic I'm specifically interested in because like, as you know, I've recently like openly announced myself as a queer person.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
As if I wasn't iconic enough.
Jesus fucking.
So, yeah, I just think it's interesting because it's something that I have spent a lot of time thinking about as like it relates to me, but also as someone who is who identifies as being male and is like subject to this idea of masculinity. I just think it's an interesting topic to touch on in a way that is funny, but also nuanced.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Shut up. I saw
that you also got a Hinge notification.
I got a Hinge and a Bumble notification.
I go to look down on my episode notes and I just see Noah's phone ping up with like date from girl last night.
And we're talking about how I'm a recovering fuckboy. This is just really a
No. Okay.
Wonderful look for me.
Let me validate for you right now.
Validate again, please.
That using dating apps does not make you a fuckboy. It just is the nature of the world we live in, right?
Yeah, no, it really is. Especially, I mean,
in this panorama, the pandemic.
Yeah. Dating in the pandemic is fucking weird, right?
Yes.
It's already
this blows.
Dating already sucks in general in New Retweet. York, especially.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Yeah, real quick, I have a question for you. So, from a male perspective, why does dating in New York suck for you?
Yeah, so the idea of dating in the modern age with all these options that we have, I think is only exacerbated in one of the largest cities in the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean like there's too many options?
There's too many options. And even if you're a person who's okay with dealing with that, I think that you will come into contact with a lot of people that don't know how to deal with that. I got ghosted for the first time.
You got ghosted for the first time?
For the first time.
Oh my God.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God. How do you feel? I'm so sorry for your loss.
No. It happens, so it's fine.
I can confidently say I've never been ghosted.
Fuck off.
Okay, here's my thing though. It's less common for women to get ghosted. Actually, no.
I'm not going to act like I haven't ghosted people.
Yeah. We know. Okay. We know that you're a former fuckboy. We know that you're a hot boy. You date girls. Like you get girls. That's the thing.
Yep.
But I
bartending doesn't hurt.
Bartending. Thought tip.
Bartending does not hurt.
Does not hurt, baby. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like a lot of women always say that because they're like, there's so many options for men available, but for women, it's harder to find someone who's actually emotionally available, willing to commit, has a decent job, is like on the feels like they're on the same level as me.
Is an emotionally intellectual person.
Yeah.
And
that I also just didn't like
it. Finance bro.
Yeah, no. That I like and I'm also attracted to.
Yeah.
I was going to say with ghosting, I've said this to you before in private, so I'm going to say it on my podcast. I think I've been ghosted before, but I didn't notice because I'm just like too busy trying to like talk to multiple people at once. So that way my feelings don't get hurt if there I get ghosted. It's the ego of
no,
me,
no,
love.
No, but okay, going back to why we're the exact same person. Fucking same.
Same. Go ahead.
When you're on a dating app, do you ever come into the situation where you're swiping and you're on like your 15th left swipe and you come to this person and you see a profile and you think, you know what, if I swipe right, it's gonna be a match. And
like you know it,
and so it's just, like you know,
so you just do it.
So you do it, and you have the conversation, and then
you don't,
and then it meet goes up with absolutely
them.
Nowhere.
It goes absolutely
because
nowhere.
The second question they ask is, "So what are you looking for?"
Stop. I'm triggered. Yes. Okay. I am guilty as charged of doing that. I
no.
Am. No. Absolutely.
Oh. I thought you meant of the question.
No. That, I. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Me?
Okay.
You
know no.
Me.
I know.
We are
that's
the
why
same.
I was, yeah.
No. I would never.
I would never
ask someone what they're looking for. I only ask that in person while I'm having sex with someone. The only time you hit him with "when are we" is while you're having sex.
Is seconds before they orgasm.
Yeah. That's the best time to do it.
And then they're
that's
like,
"That's how I got my last
you.
Relationship." Anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah. What were we talking about?
We got on a lot of tangents.
Anyway, so I think the best way to avoid ghosting or being ghosted is to just like distract yourself so you don't realize you're being ghosted. Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what I have done.
But I would say like when I have been ghosted before, like, okay. My experience of ghosting has been like after I've been like consistently hooking up with someone, when they start to be like,
oh,
I'm dating someone else seriously
that's
now.
That's so much worse.
It's so much worse.
I didn't even go on a date with this girl. We planned a date and she
and
just,
then you just
didn't. And she just didn't text me. And yeah. I got really high instead.
So it's so much worse when someone you've been like consistently fucking goes
yeah.
to
yes,
because you're like, I've gone to Trader Joe's every week and bought this same favorite item, and then one week I'm gonna go and it's out of stock. Where is it? And then you can't find an employee to help you find it, so you're like, what do I do now? And they're like, oh, sorry, this new item has been replaced by another one. And that's what sucks about being ghosted by someone you've been consistently fucking, because you're like, I thought you were my available roster. What do you mean you like someone else now?
Yeah,
what do you mean you're dating someone? That
so
sucks.
That's that was the 23-year-old version of me.
Yeah. What? So 23-year-old Noah, when you're full in your fuckboy prime,
yeah,
how would you
fully
manage or deal with that?
Not well.
Give us an anecdote, a story, an example.
When I moved from, so I went to college on Staten Island.
Love that.
No one loves that. My first apartment, we found the apartment the summer that you and I met.
Yeah.
So I was not in the city when my roommates found the apartment, and they decided to give me the room closest to the door because they decided I could just have the room that a liaison could sneak in and out of the apartment.
A liaison! From. I love that. That's so respectful.
I'm trying to be.
I love that. No, if a man called me a liaison, I would be so honored. I would be like, yes, I'm very official. No, I love that. Okay, so you got the room closest to the door.
Yeah, so I got the room closest to the door. Again, right after you and I met, my really just messy first true heartbreak, first girl I ever said I love you to, I moved back to New York and was truly single. I mean, I dated pretty much the entire time I was in college.
Mm.
I was in a relationship pretty much the entire time I was in college.
Okay, so you were like locked down.
Oh my God. I was, even more so than I am now, I was a perpetual dater.
Serial dater.
Serial relationship.
Guilty as charged.
Oh, yeah, big time. It was my first time being in New York City as a fully single man. And I think my first year out of college, I did go back and try and count through the number of times. And
you know about my list, right?
No.
I have a list of every person I've hooked up with and their zodiac sign next to it.
No.
Why are you surprised? I'm crazy.
I know. But do you like write it down after like immediately following?
Yeah, Savannah.
Too.
Yeah,
really?
Women do that.
I have a relationship now, but I have a list of all the past. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't want to know how many women I've slept with that do the same.
Okay.
And
they
just
do. They all do it.
There's
Luca
just,
affirmed it.
There's
for
just,
us.
There's
we
just like
about
somewhere,
it.
There's like multiple women just have dude with big nose. Dick yeah. curves to the left.
No, no, no. I was going to say, if I can't remember someone's name, I fully have someone on my list who has a question mark, question mark, question mark, the three question mark, and it says vague blonde hair, and then their zodiac sign. Because if I don't remember their name, I will remember their sign.
Just going back to that 1 year, that first year out, a fun thought anecdote.
Yes. We'll have plenty of time to tell thought stories, but yes, please, go.
You've never met my former roommate?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I got out of school, I moved in with my best friend, Jason, and who has been in a relationship since our sophomore year of college.
I feel like I know Jason because you've talked about him so much over the years.
All I do is gas him up because yes. I think my friend is the shit.
Yes. As you should. Thought type. If you're not gassing your friends up, you're a fake friend.
Exactly. So he has been in a relationship for, I don't know, 1,000 years now. And I would bring my dates back to the apartment. And usually I never brought anyone past the bedroom into the living room. Because at a certain point, I did that and Jason was sitting on the couch and he looks at me while she is standing next to me and he goes, "And what's this one's name?"
No, that's so mean. But to be fair, I went through the same thing, so I understand. Oh God, it's so funny when you have that moment with your friends.
I was really messy for like a full like year or two.
I'm slightly less messy now, but like fully in college or like when I was single after my like post-college relationship, I was definitely that friend where I would be telling my friends about like different guys or like people I was dating and they would be like, "I'm sorry, which one is this?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also to be fair, I'm a few years ahead of you. So I feel like, I feel like you're on the end of where I was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I feel like that's why we're able to like have conversations about like, I don't know, like personal growth and
yeah.
like why like our dating lives have like paralleled in a weird kind
in
of way.
Such a weird, very specific way.
Very specific way that we're absolutely going to get into. Yeah. I mean, okay, just full tea, full disclosure. Noah and I like both have become like recently single at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Like within weeks.
Like a month.
Yeah.
Of each other.
Yeah.
And like,
mine was 2 days prior to the Capitol riot was on the 6th.
I love that you're measuring when you got out of a relationship through the Capitol riot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, go off. Go off.
Yeah, two Set days off. Prior to the Capitol riot.
Right, right, right. And I mean, I measure mine by like, I will now remember my Valentine's Day trauma. I will now remember Valentine's Day of 2021 being like, that was not fun. But
gotta get some hoaxies, Danny Phantom.
It was stop. Anyway, so yeah, no, I feel like that's why we have the same journey of personal growth.
For sure.
As well as our childhoods are very similar. Savannah, mm-hmm. So you know, most of my friends is I feel like the people I choose to surround myself with and that I'm close with are people who all kind of like had a similar experience growing up that as far as like childhood and the way that you kind of had to like instinctually become independent.
What's that? There's a psychology term for it. Parentified child. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Most of my friends fall into that category. Yeah. And so I just feel like anyone that I am like invite into my like inner circle of this is who I am and who I trust.
Yeah.
Falls into that category of person. But and for good reason too, because I think it's important to, I don't know, I have a hard time relating to people that don't have a sense of responsibility and who don't have a sense of like, who don't value personal growth in the way that we do, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to get into it.
Let's get into it.
We haven't even gotten into it yet. And this
Ooh,
has just been,
baby.
All right. So, Thoughty, today we are talking about defining masculinity versus toxic masculinity, because we here encourage like healthy attitudes and aspects towards gender and identity. So, Noah Birchstock, how would you define masculinity?
So that's something that I think is hard to sort of pin down and concisely codify. Mm-hmm. I think that it is something that everyone has to go on their own journey of discovering what it means for them. I don't think there's any one definition of masculinity. And I think that's something that's super important that people need to start accepting.
Go off, King.
I think we need to let go of the fact that
there's like one definite answer of it, right?
There absolutely isn't. I think that the sort of there are, and don't get me wrong, there are valid things in the traditional idea of what it means to be a man or what it means to be masculine. I think that there is validity in some of that.
Sure.
And I think that there are positives to pull from that, but
clearly it has damaged our society. Clearly it's toxic.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to say real quick, I love what your answer to that, because I love this idea that we are able to be expansive on how we define or identify ourselves when it comes to gender.
Yeah.
Specifically like this new idea and this new concept of masculinity, that it doesn't have to be this like old form that's very oppressive to women, or that boisterous John Wayne thing. Oh God, that's like, I'm going to punch everything that doesn't make sense to me. Sure.
Which
like Joe Rogan bitches, we're coming for you. If Joe Rogan heard me say this, I would love for him to invite me on his show.
He is from maybe like a half hour away from where I grew up.
I'm not surprised. Joe Rogan's a yeehaw. Anyway. Right. I like come from a Mexican family, right? Yep. So like my father and like my brothers come from this like long lineage of like this very like machismo energy, where it's like, I'm going to be aggressive and I'm going to be unemotional and I'm going to like not adhere to your feelings because I don't understand them. Or if I do understand them, I don't know how to respond to them properly. And so I think that the way that our culture is shifting is that we kind of have to, like, we all collectively, like men, women, everyone in between has to kind of just like navigate around that, because people who have,
it's a reframe.
Exactly. They've always been in that position of power.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do we challenge that? Especially someone like yourself, who is like heteronormative, but also doesn't want to subscribe to that like oppressive version of masculinity.
For sure. And that's why I think a lot of the reaction that you're seeing that is negative is people that are afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. And I think that... It's tricky, right? Because we want to be progressive, and we also want to say, let's just cut out all this toxic shit.
Right.
But and I know, because you and I both are aggressive.
Progressive.
Aggressive.
Oh, I'm aggressive and progressive. Yeah. I'm aggressive about being progressive. Yes.
But I think that sometimes when it comes to the fuck you think this way, be progressive mentality, there are people who are going to be a dick just to be a dick. Some people just get off on being an asshole. But I think there are some people that can be, and those are the people that you can just aggressively be progressive towards.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
Sure. And we also maybe are moving away from this idea that like being aggressive is just like a masculine trait.
It's not.
It's like exclusive to just that like gender identity. Yeah. Sure. A question for you.
Hit me with it.
So how has expectations of masculinity affected your life, like either positively, negatively, like... How have you shaped your own definition of masculinity? Like, where does that come from? Can you tell us about your experience or how you grew up?
Yeah.
And how you have like challenged that.
Right. So let's just get into it.
Open up, baby. We love it. We're open and it's a safe space.
I'm billing you, my therapist. I was born to an entrepreneur. My mother she started her own business at 23. Think about that. My mother opened her own hair salon and ran it herself from the time she was 23. You just turned 24?
In November.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to turn 24 again this year.
Okay. Well.
No, but that's impressive.
My mother's 23, owning and running her own hair salon.
That's insane.
I was born. My father was the son of an addict, you know, third, possibly fourth generation addict. My dad was a cocaine turned to crack turned to heroin addict.
Right. Okay. Right.
My mother was the only woman that actually married him. My mother will say, I'm the only asshole that was dumb enough to marry him.
No.
Yeah.
No queen.
Well, okay. So.
Okay. You grew up with your mother has this very independent entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah. Whereas your father is in this world of drugs and addiction. Yeah.
I... I sort of became his wingman in a lot of his... So he would work these contracting... I don't know what that shit... I know nothing about that
world. Fine.
Yeah, he would...
It's like a contract job.
Yeah, sure. He would work these jobs, and what he would do is he would bring me in on one of the last few days, and he would say, I'm going to show you all these things that I did. And he would have me talk to the people who owned the home that he worked on while he robbed them. So that was the...
Fuck.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so from the time I was... My first memories of that are from 2-3 years old.
Okay.
My parents got divorced right before my fourth birthday.
Okay.
My dad stayed in my life until I was 7.
Okay.
So that was a huge, that was what a man was to me
for
the first few years of my life. So
that was your perception from a very young age, seeing your mother being a hardworking person and kind of seeing your father be in this position of
lying to get through. Counterbalancing that, I also was, so once my parents got divorced, by the time I turned 4 and everything was finalized, my mom was working full time running her business, and I had a retired grandfather. So he worked in...
Enter grandpa.
So he would take care of me whenever my mom was at work and I didn't have to go to school. So then I started getting this influence of a man who was sort of at the end of that boisterous, silent protector period of his life and was a much gentler, kinder, openly loving, expressing person. So that's that was sort of when I started learning that you didn't need to be this rough, hurtful version of a person to be a man.
Ooh, that's really important to touch on. And I just want to emphasize that.
Yeah.
That this aggressive, hyper masculine persona is not something that you have to subscribe to.
Absolutely not. Then enter stepdad.
Okay. So what was stepdad like?
So he was the son of a Vietnam vet who had severe PTSD.
Okay.
And was
I know a lot about that. Yeah. I have family members who have
He was so he, because of all of that trauma surrounding his childhood, and he didn't really know how to address it, and he sort of refused to go to therapy and deal with it.
Yeah.
Started reinforcing all of these ideas of what it means to be a man and how masculinity is defined by pushing everything down and just dealing with it.
Yeah.
And that was, they got married when I turned 13, which is another.
It's a very transformative time of your life.
Formative.
You're entering into this slow transition of adulthood where you start to solidify
hormones
yourself.
Raging.
Yeah. Totally.
And so that was another big male influence in my life. While but I also feel like I need to call attention to the fact that I was also predominantly raised by my gay uncle. So I grew up.
Uncle, you love it.
We love a gunkle.
Love that. That's cute.
I did have all those positive influences around the negative influences, but I don't know. I feel like there's something that's attached to this really traditional, horrible idea of what masculinity is that you attach yourself to the negative, right?
No, totally. Because it's coming at you from all different angles.
Yeah.
It's coming at you from your friends, your school, and you're 15. You're yeah, I'm just like, I'm gonna go to school and like my friends are all jerking off in the locker room, so I'm gonna do it too.
And I'm
like,
fucking dramatic as shit on top of all of it.
And you have all this trauma on top of it too from your family. So in my experience, like I grew up I grew up Mormon.
Fun.
So I grew up Mormon and Mexican, so I'm like double whammied with like oppressive culture. And I like had to undo a lot of the like trauma around like the cultural societal pressures of like being in those different communities versus like what my parents and my family were actually trying to teach me and like value.
I've like gone on dates with girls who have been like, it's weird that you're a mama's boy, and I'm like, you fuck, what fuck is off. Wrong with you?
I love my mom's
the shit.
Yeah,
fuck
my
off.
Mom's the shit. Oh god, okay.
You're scared, that's what it is.
Okay, that's actually a perfect transition. Okay, so we talked a lot about your childhood trauma, which we all love to talk about. How did your experience as a child affect how you treat women now versus when you were like in your early 20s as a reformed fuck boy?
I think guys as a whole, we're exposed to the idea of being what we are. We're exposed to this idea of your partner is okay, because men are taught that like the focus of your sexuality is just to, or sexual experiences, to get off.
Right.
So
it's about,
so your partner
orgasming until you,
it's about
move,
it's about
on.
Jizzing, and then you jizz, you come, and you come to your senses and you move on.
Right.
And from the time that you're like 15 until you start to realize that, you know, the person that's helping you is a fucking person.
And not just like a catalyst for you to get off.
Yeah. So I am personally I'm a huge cinephile. I like TV and film has always been something that defines a big part of my personality.
Oh, yeah. Noah texts me once a week, like, Christian, have you watched this? And I said, no, I have not. I'm like,
watch Ted Lasso, by the way.
I will watch Ted Lasso. Keep going.
Anyway, so there was this, I can't remember what show it was from off the top of my head, but this one character is dating for the first time in a while. And this, the other character is saying, all right, like, what you need to do is, with the woman that you're with, you need to treat her like a person, then a princess, then a goddess, and then a person again. And I think that that was something that when I think I watched that for the first time when I was like 16 or 17, like really, like the first time that I was,
ooh, I love that.
the first time that I was really starting to actually get attention from women, because I was not cute until around then.
It's okay. Everyone had a glow up in college. It's fine.
I truly don't think I actually got a glow up until I turned like 25, but that's beside the point.
I've always been hot, but every year I get hotter. Anyway, not the point.
Moving on. No, you need to always be aware of the fact that you're the person you're with. They're a person. All the things that come with a partnership of, you know, wanting to take care of them, wanting to provide for them, wanting to like worship them, all of these things that come with that. At the end of the day, you can never forget, you can never lose sight of the fact that they are a vulnerable,
they're multifaceted being.
Like desperate for love, attention, all of these things. Never lose sight of that.
That's super valid and that's super important, especially when it comes to like how we're challenging like heteronormative like senses of masculinity.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for like straight men, just because it's interesting to think about how men don't have to subscribe to like, they don't have to like reject masculinity if they don't have to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally does.
Like they don't have to subscribe to it or participate in it unless they're literally forced to and recognize it.
I don't subscribe to the zero sum mentality. I think you're allowed to pick and choose the things that you want to adhere to. You're allowed to be, you don't need to be this, rough edge cut version of whatever.
Have to be this like barbarian, like rose. No, you can be like, you can tough be a, ass, like
you can be a fully realized fucking person.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. What would you say to like a woman who's like dealing with a man like that Do you just say like run for the hills, or do you like tell them to be patient? How do you feel? What's your like instinctual reaction?
Tough, right. So,
cause it's like case by case.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. I can't give any sort of, general advice. But I will say that if he is over the age of 25, that's probably who he's going to be for the rest of his life.
Oh,
there was Donald Glover did this one joke. This you've seen Weirdo, right?
Yeah.
So he does this one joke where he talks about, you know, if you are almost 30 and you're liberal, you're probably going to be liberal for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you're almost 30 and you're conservative, you're probably going to be conservative for the rest of your life. If he listens to Joe Rogan and he's almost 30, he's probably going to listen to Joe Rogan for the rest of his
life.
And
gaslight you, girly.
And gaslight you. Yeah.
Say girly.
Girly.
Right. No, that's so true. It's just kind of like after 25, everyone loves to like live by this expectation that like men mature later than girls do.
But like a man's like frontal lobe really like fully develops by the time he's like 23.
If he's a piece of shit by the time he's 26, like I'm sorry, girly Bob, he's gonna be a piece of shit.
And you can only hold somebody to a standard of like, and I will say I've been lucky enough in some of the traumatic relationships that I've been in to have been sort of not forced is the wrong word, but been told like either get your shit together and go to therapy or this is done. And yeah, I did that. I started actively seeking therapy at 24, 25.
Mm-hmm. I think that's when everyone is late bloomers. They're late bloomers.
I mean, I'm a late bloomer.
It's funny you're saying that because in the last episode I did, I said a late bloomer was someone who like fucked past like the age of 16. But a late bloomer.
That was me too.
I lost my virginity at like 17.
18 in college. Late bloomer.
People are capable of change. Yes.
Yeah.
But
for
if
sure.
That is who he is at 25, 26.
But also, the more shit changes, the more shit stays the same, right?
Sing it again. Sing it loud. Sing it proud.
The more shit changes, the more shit stays the same.
Yeah. Okay. So earlier you said you are in a place that I was in when I was your age where you're like.
Phrase that differently, please. It makes me feel so much
you're
fucking older.
You're not old, though. You're only a year, what, a year and a half, 2 years older than me?
I turn
25.
In November?
Yeah.
I turn 27 in August.
Elderly.
And literally sign me up for AARP.
Anyway.
This episode is sponsored by AARP.
This episode is sponsored by Life Alert.
Fuck.
I just think that you get to this point in your life where you're like, oh, I actually can't change who I am anymore to be complacent in the lifestyle that you are living.
Yeah.
And that's when you have to decide for yourself. You're like, oh, I'm going to live a life now where that is actually healthy and sustainable for me. And so whether that is subscribing to this like toxic heteronormative like masculinity like value that we have ingrained in our society, mm-hmm. or if it's completely rejecting it, I think that everyone's kind of like moving in this direction culturally where we recognize that like that's not a sustainable way of living.
Yeah, I also think that we're all starting to realize that living in and accepting the gray area is valid and where I think we all need to move towards. We're all fucking floating in this nebulous and we need to
fully
just be okay with that.
No, fully. Especially because like we are having this conversation now and maybe in like 2 years from now we'll listen back to this and be like,
we're so fucking dumb. We thought we were so deep. Dumb.
We thought we were so progressive and like this is so off base. But it's all about like as Harry Styles said, it's a sign of the times.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But it is. It's a sign of the times. You're right, you know? Yeah. Like it's a sign of like where we are at in this moment in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing we can do as progressive people or as people who are trying to change the narrative on how we think about like sex, gender, identity, to challenge like the ways we have traditionally like thought how we should behave, especially in relation to each other. And so I don't know, I just like once again want to validate for you that
gets I me up.
I just want to validate for you that I think that you are someone who is like actively trying to do that. Yep. And I see that reflected in the way that you speak about masculinity, the way that you behave with women, the way that our relationship has developed into like a meaningful friendship. And
From Tinder.
I'm sorry. If you can become friends with someone from Tinder, then like you are not a problematic person. Yes, I'm not problematic.
Yeah.
And I just think that's like very like important because we have just like subscribed to this like long like very problematic idea of like, oh, men and women can't be friends. Yeah. And we have
Harry met Sally,
men and women can't be friends, and like we have to like be problematic and create even bigger gender barriers than there already are. And it's just not the world we live in anymore. And so, Noah, thank you for challenging that. Thank you for being my straight friend who doesn't subscribe to that. Thank you for being my only straight friend.
There it is.
You like that anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You love that anthem, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, Noah, you are a self-proclaimed thought. Say yes.
Yes.
He's so attentive. Anyway. Okay, so you're a thought. You have to share with us your thought anthem. A thought anthem is a song that makes you feel empowered, sexy, iconic, all of the above. So, please share with us what your thought anthem is and why. Go.
If we're following this idea of toxic or fragile masculinity and addressing mental health and men's mental health.
Sure.
This is super not a thought anthem that I think is along the lines of anything. I mean, we're going to talk banjos. It would be Paranoia in B major by the Avett Brothers.
Not B major.
B major.
Okay. By the Avett Brothers.
By the Avett Brothers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know this
one. It's okay.
Okay.
It's
so tell us why it's your thought anthem.
Yeah. No, because it addresses this idea of the first line of the song is, I keep telling myself everything will be fine. You can't make everybody happy all the time.
Okay.
And it addresses that idea of I'm just gonna keep quoting lines from it, the idea of addressing what paranoia, what your anxieties are, and how you deal with them, and the fact that you have this idea that everyone sort of knows what's going on inside your head, even though sometimes it's this fabrication that you, this story that you create for yourself that you're allowed to bless and release.
Sure.
The idea that there's a line that says, all my friends keep telling me that I've always been wrong. I'm so tired of being wrong.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So that definitely fits along the lines of like challenging your like heteronormativity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is honestly like that should be a thought anthem. If you're challenging gender norms, that's a fucking thought anthem, bitch. Like that. Yeah.
Emotionalism. Listen to it.
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. Because normally my thought anthem is something like, I love Katy Perry. I don't actually love Katy Perry, but it's something
she's
of
problematic,
like.
Problematic, right?
Yeah. She's very problematic. So it's something like.
Have you seen that Catfish episode where the dude thought he was dating Katy Perry?
Wait. Yes, I have. I love Catfish.
I do too.
Catfish, please sponsor Thought Topic. Neve, I love you. Yes. No, normally it's like a Katy Perry anthem where I'm just like, yeah, like this is fucking cool. But I love that it's like introspective and it gives you like.
I mean, it could also just be Can I Kick It by A Tribe Called Quest.
Okay. A Tribe Called Quest is absolutely a thought anthem. So that's thought anthem part two. That's probably what will actually make the playlist. But yeah, we love it. Aw, well, Noah, thank you for being vulnerable with us.
Anytime.
Thank you for being like open and receptive to like challenging your own like heteronormativity. That is something that a lot of men struggle with. So we appreciate it and we respect you and we gladly welcome you with open arms into our thought community.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Yeah. So before we go, would you like to plug anything, your socials, projects, anything you would like to say before we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, sure. My Instagram is at Snowy Bridge Dog.
Snowy Noah.
Snowy Noah. Yeah. And I also have a music account at Noah Bridge Dog Music. I will be dropping an EP that I am starting to work on after my second round of the microchip this weekend. I'm going to be laying down some tracks for my EP, Sex and Other Lies We Tell Ourselves to Sleep at Night.
I love that. That's very thoughty. Check it out.
Yeah, it will hopefully be all laid out within a month and on the Instagram at Noah Bridgestock Music.
Noah Bridgestock Music. We love it. Yeah, Noah, thank you for being open, vulnerable, iconic.
Thank you for having me.
You're a thoughty. You're a thoughty, and we're all thoughties. Yay. Okay, well, thank you, thoughties, for tuning in. And Noah, you will be back very soon.
Yay.
Yay. All right, thoughties, that is all I have for you this week. So make sure you are following at The Thought Topic, that is Thought with a Zero, on all social medias. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in and being a supporter of the show. We have some big things coming in May that I'm really excited to tell you guys about, but I can't because Savannah said I can't yet. But you will know very soon, so be on the lookout. Stay connected, give us your feedback, share an episode with a friend, and I will see you all next time. Mwah.